he's there. He may not be there. He's out of money. Then
whether he's there or not,
he'll have the papers for it.
He's his paper, of course. Sure things up.
There's another very good nursing home in Dover where you had that sensational rally, you know, in 68. That we could also go, you could also go to by landing at Pease Air Force Base, which is over by Portsmouth. And then drive to Dover, which is not far away, it's quite close. And visit that nursing home and do the thing and not have a reception, not have any public.
Just as I don't want to have a reception.
Sort of drop on the way.
I don't want to meet the Republicans. That's the thing. I don't want a Republican thing here at all. I mean, I just like to have a few people out.
It's very clear that we should not go to Portsmouth. The Navy Yard is just a goddamn mess. There's nothing in it. You know, it's only alive because we kept it alive. The other possibility that was suggested was a meeting with public and Roman Catholic school leaders, because New Hampshire has been a model of easing the burden on non-public schools. But politically, that's a disaster because it's not a Catholic state.
It's a loser.
It would not help in the Republican primary, certainly. Catholics are Democrats.
One thing that's interesting about the school thing is the way that Schultz is coming around on busing. Here's a liberal, real.
But he's learning something about it. He's learning the facts about it instead of the goddamn liberal crap that they pour out about how we got to bust these kids across. He's now finding out what a disaster it is for a mother to walk out onto the street and put her little black kid on a bus at 7:30 in the morning to drive an hour across town to be kicked and spit at by white kids, and vice versa.
Works both ways.
It's a crappy
way to solve the problem. It's basically should be. That's the point.
The de facto one. De facto, the jury, right. They should. It's right not to allow
an individual that lives in a black neighborhood. He should go to a black school. God damn it, if that's the way it is.
If a white kid lives in a black neighborhood, he should go to a black
school. He should go to a black school. Exactly. If a black kid lives in a white neighborhood, he should go to a white school, which is what that's all that's required. But this is at this point, though, that you've got a mix up of the community. It's just crazy.
As the guy said, politically it's a mess, because that mother, every morning when she goes out, is reminded of it. It isn't something that you get done and it goes away.
Now, we're certainly, when we come out for this amendment, we're going to get maximum visibility on this application. We just got to.
I think it's better not to do it out of Austin, though. Also, it's much better for, John's right and Morgan's wrong, it's much better for them to go to Austin to do this thing, because you don't want to breathe here. Nobody here gives a damn about the Austin busing. It's the people in Austin that care. They ought to be on TV in Austin. And it's damn good. And Schultz should go.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello, Caleb. Say, I'm sorry to get you out of your meeting. And,
well, maybe we'll see what we can do there.
I understand. It's all we can ask. We'll have to get it in. Okay. Bye. Bye. Thanks. Secretary Conley, please. It's a garage. He's awful nice about it. These guys, at least when I call him, I treat him nicely.
Unless you haven't.
I've never made anyone mad, but, gosh, I don't know. Maybe that's what you have to do. I'm not gonna do it. That's not gonna do it. The real problem, though, we don't have any leader. Scott should be making some calls. You know?
Sure.
Say, look. Jesus Christ.
That's what they used to do to you, isn't it, then?
Totally played off the road.
Didn't know when you saw all the...
I haven't put it on to him before, and I haven't put it assistance.
Sean, I'm sorry.
I told him a month, I did it a month, I'm not talking privately about that.
He's with you on that, he's just to get out there.
Yeah, you know. The other thing, I, in my talking, I did not call Bellman, I did not.
That's all right, no, it's all right, I just talked to Henry, I had a long, hard meeting. I don't know.
Principles too?
No, well, he's got principles, but mainly it's McDonnell Douglas principles.
Right.
Bastards. Oh, they really, hell, GE's even tough.
That's what it is.
Ooh, boy.
Aiken Center, there were four GE plants within his district and his state, and GE's fighting. These business people, I'm sick of the bastards.
Oh, they're abolition.
They do each other. Like Sharp said,
Goldwater said, or Aiken said he would take a bill over the broader bill. I said, sorry, we take this now, we'll give you a broader bill later. But I don't know whether you want to take another crack at him on that.
Well, no, I think that's probably all we can do with him. This may put us within striking distance. I shook Bellman up and told him what you said to tell him. I said, now, Henry, you just talk about McDonnell Douglas all you damn please, but now, the president just said to tell you, this probably means the difference between Kerry and losing to California. But yeah, I talked to him 20 minutes, and he was armed with a lot of facts that McDonnell Douglas had given him.
Right, right.
Now, without Roman or Rustin.
That's the right appeal, though. Yeah, just the pure dominator that carries a pretty good politician.
Yeah, he is.
Now, I tell you, when I wanted to say, I talked to Box, he couldn't have been nicer. He says, look, he says, my papers come out in four different editorials, and he says, everybody is. So he says, but if Rob would go, I'll go.
Yeah.
Now, Rob won't go.
The last word we had on Rob was that Clark McGregor was going to try to get Roth not to vote on the grounds that he had a conflict of interest.
McGregor sent a note in saying that maybe he and Flanagan should meet with you for a few minutes to discuss calls to Curtis and Roth.
Well, I'm talking.
And you've done Curtis, but then Roth is still in. Maybe we ought to check McGregor if he's...
Yeah, because I have not talked about Roth in 2 hours, so I don't know what's happened on that.
Want to get Clark in?
No, just ask him. Down,
yeah, he probably is.
Clark McGregor, please.
But as far as I can tell now, we're about 14. We're either 46 or 47 firm votes. Now, Jackson's not going to be here. Benson's not going to vote. Munn won't vote. Labor, I talked to Magnuson, and we're supposed to get some input from Labor there, as well as on Muskie and the Moss and Metcalf. And I don't know what labor, I don't know what they're going to be able to come up with, but they had a bunch of them. Hughes, Jackson, Magnus.
Yeah, where are you? Okay, the president now has covered all the calls except Roth, and he was just talking to the Secretary of Commerce. What is the situation on Roth? He's in the office, you want to come in? Clark, why don't you sit down in the president's office for a second? He's never heard of meeting for so long, I sort of can't see much. 5 minutes, if I'm too much.
Roth is the difference with Boggs, and if Roth won't vote, or if Roth will vote for it, Boggs will vote for it.
Damn it, I think we can get Boggs. Maybe the two of them could come down here this evening.
Well, hell, that'd be great, you know, just get them waiting there. That'd change it.
Discuss a little double republic.
Well, yes, they come down at 3 o'clock this evening. I don't know whether they want to be that cowardly, but a lot of guys are. I never felt it was cowardly not to be there.
Well,
I'm responsible.
Sure, I make no apologies for it. Besides, some other things I thought was more important to my state.
That's right.
Wasn't that big an issue?
Aye. Mr. President, Mr. Secretary, what is the situation on the box? The cold turkey is here. The question of Rob.
Before
Mr. President, you have, or soon will have, our consideration. permitted certain work rights. I've talked to Pete Flanagan about this, and Peter Mountain, what is it, we're not going to work on that. I think you can take some steps that will be favorable to petrochemicals. People, I think the question is how much of a step. What do you know about this?
Well, not in detail. Generally speaking,
the oil and gas people are paraded on the other side.
Oh, there it
is. Cliff Hansen is the one who's been carrying the largest spear for the oil and gas people and has gotten a number of senators to sign a letter to you, which came to us last Friday. On the other side. Peter Bannon is of the opinion that many of the senators who are opposed to a recommendation that the majority of the executive departments favor are doing so on the basis of incomplete information, and that what it is proposed for you to do for the benefit of the petrochemicals will not be as damaging to the oil and gas people as they seem to think. Bill Roth, this is a matter of great interest to Bill, and he's very sensitive on this point, and I would think an indication on your part that you are seriously considering the recommendations made to you to the benefit of the petrochemical industry would might well be persuasive in his thoughts on lobbying.
What about the plan that he wasn't going to vote on the grounds of the general counsel for Hercules?
We tried to get him to involve him on the grounds of the conflict. We tried to get him to do the same thing. We weren't successful with Pete, and therefore President, unfortunately.
How about getting how it was Rob and Bob to want to come down at 3 o'clock and talk to me about it today?
I'm sure they would, sir. I'm not sure that...
For about a half an hour?
We're trying the same thing with Bob Griffin. Jerry Ford has got an urgent call for Griffin and is going to have to visit with him about Michigan matters just at the time of the vote. So we're going to get Bob Griffin away. Yes, they would like to talk with you about it.
No, I'm not going to talk to him unless I'm keep voting, you know what I mean?
I understand. I would like you to talk to Peter Flanagan briefly, sir, before you took that step. Peter's not knowledgeable about the precise details, and I have worked with Peter to advise him on the congressional attitudes.
Well, how does reversing you sound?
Say again.
How does reversing you sound? You say you vote against Lockheed, there ain't no point in you talking about
that. Well, that's true. I've indicated that to Ross.
That's not persuasive.
A very delicate balance right now, and I would hope he would not put himself in disfavor with the president. He doesn't give me a commitment.
Well, okay. I think it's difficult for the two of them to vote for it. What I'm thinking about is, if you talk to him about taking a walk with him.
I have not specifically talked to him. I talked to Gail Boggs about taking a walk. I haven't talked to Bill Roth. I'm trying to get Roth on the phone. He's on the floor of the Senate now.
I sure are. What do you think, Mike? John, do you want
to... Let's get another reading on where we are.
Should we kick the oil and gas people? I don't mind.
Well,
I want to kick them and not win the vote.
Well, that's the whole point.
Price is damn high.
That's the whole thing.
And let's say...
Well, finally, you know enough about it, really, about where...
Yes, sir.
I know about the issues, Bob. I don't know about it, but about... Does he know enough about the politics of this, the question of where the oil and gas people, how strongly they feel, how big it is to them, and how big it is to the others? That's what everybody comes down to. That's the only thing. I'm not interested in the merits. Hell, I don't know what the merits are. So Pete wants to talk about the merits of time, but does he know about the politics of this thing?
Yes, sir.
Right.
He knows about the 31 senators that have joined with
Clinton. 31 senators to fight this. But we do have it as part of our policy. Jesus Christ. We've done enough damage to the oil and gas people already.
There are some options open to you. Each would be beneficial to the petrochemicals. Some would not be as beneficial, obviously, as others. And Peter Flanagan believes that one option would give something to the petrochemicals, would not be damaging the oil and gas people.
All right. I'll approve that. I mean, Peter, he's looked over this thing.
Yes, sir.
Certainly. How's that sound? One option would be...
It's a modest option.
That's a modest
all 25% option.
I don't know enough about it, Mr. President. I wouldn't want to. I'd want to take another reading before.
You have on the. It isn't just the Delaware people. You have the Michigan people.
Oh yeah, the Michigan people. Strong, damn strong in here.
Better chemicals.
Dow chemicals very strong. for some relief. And they've got some, they've got a lot of merit on their side, but I...
I didn't check Griffin. It would help Griffin.
Wouldn't change it.
He's going to have it.
No, United Automobile Workers are against us.
Would not.
He has a vote for you.
Never gets something.
Would cops come out and praise you for China?
Yeah, it's a big help. It's not a big...
And I mean good.
He's just no good. Bad, socialist son of a bitch.
Well, I don't know what you need, Ross, and you may have to have it. We're one or two. What's your latest count?
44 for us, 46 against us.
No, the count's been changed since then. I know we're 46 solid now.
Good.
And, well, I say I know. I just talked to Jim.
Jim and Gene Connor up there.
And we may be a little better than that, but if we are, we're just one better. It's close as hell, I'll say that.
Well, I think we can consider it a modest option.
Oh, I think.
I think we've got to do it. Clark is this. I don't think I want to get it to. I think we've just got to say that that the Drellis is the recommendation. I mean, there's a great brain on the other side. But, and I think your argument is well taken. I think we'll take a look at this modest option if he wants to do it. And it would be. But he's down. Well, we're not down. I'm not going to look at it at all.
That's the way to put it.
It's cold as that. It's gone that we have to have under consideration. And I put it so he doesn't get out of it, but it'll mean a great deal to us, and that we have papers on our desk. How's that? I mean, I know that's as much as they can ask. But,
that's right.
And then they want to come down and talk to me about it, they can. You know? Richard? Okay. Good luck. John, I'm sleeping August the 3rd with the government. I was wondering in your schedule,
yes,
and then you were going to talk to Schultz. You know that the USC will raise their prices.
Yes,
predictably. Well, you can't say something about just. They have to.
Yeah, they did.
If you get 9% wage increase, you have to raise their price increase. Now, it occurred to me that if you did have time, you might want to, maybe you didn't know what your afternoon is.
I'll take
to see Schultz today, and then we talk a little bit more this afternoon.
All right, that's fine.
I'm seeing Benjamin 3 o'clock, and I've got a lot of things forward to him.
So all
right. I can be available around, say, what's your schedule announced today?
I can cancel.
I'll cancel. I can tell me 5 o'clock. That time, 4:30, 4.
4.
What?
4.
4, okay.
4:30.
Yeah.
Kathy Crosby's in. She's supposed to come by at 5 o'clock, but hell, I don't have to see her.
She's great.
I know she is, but I don't have to see her.
No. That's, no, what I'm getting at is that I thought that if you could get the, you see, there's one argument, if you're going to go with wage price for each line, to do it right off the steel.
Right.
Right. And it might be that you'd like it, and it only takes if you could, anytime, say after, well, I could do it, if you could see Crosby, Schultz a little,
right.
And see whether the wage price freeze thing is something you could consider. Right. That's the only part of the option.
I'll talk.
Except the only other one that makes sense is something, mainly because I don't know one hell of a lot about it, which also I think could be held in reserve, is the gold mineral thing. I'm just thinking of the fact, politically, of the opposition being able to say, somewhere in here inside the figures that we are just inflating the currency or something, that sort of thing. Failed. Now, so you might think in terms of our options of doing the things that make the dollar stronger now. Then if those things do not have the necessary effect, but closing the gold and related to it, rather than doing that far on that one, let me put it this way. I tend not to be as persuaded by the international monetary arguments as I am by the domestic arguments.
Well, I'm sure you would. I'm sure.
And so therefore, I'm trying to think that we do, that we should consider doing all those things that affect us domestically, which would also have a good effect on international.
That's correct.
And as a last resort, move the international, except of course from the floating thing, I think is so dumb and confused that nobody's going to understand.
But
the gold thing, the gold wheel thing sort of sounds like a...
What is
just a... No. Closing the gold wheel sounds as if the dollar's on the hill. That's to the average person. Maybe it doesn't.
Well, I can see your anxiety. I don't think it'll be so interpreted. I just had an hour with McChesney Martin.
Oh, yeah.
Who came in on a completely different subject. He's reforming the stock exchange. So he came in and we quickly got off of that and I just started talking about this. He thinks that unless we move fairly drastically, he says, number one, that there continues to be an erosion of confidence. That, you know, that there's going to be any real change. Number two, he says that there's an erosion of confidence in me as an individual on the grounds that he's now beginning to pick up some criticism. Well, hell, he's not in there to do anything. He's just in there trying to be vice president or something. Number three, he says that we can't go beyond a limited time. I said, what do you mean limited? He said, 3 or 4 months on the gold thing. He said, you've got to make some changes. He said, now the statement that Giscard d'Estaing made was in effect, they weren't going to ask for gold because they didn't want to bring the whole system down. He said, now that's a hell of a poor excuse, but he said, that's the way they view it. And he said, I don't think you've got over 3 or 4 months to where you're going to have to take a very aggressive stand. He said, I think you have to do it either at the time of the IMF or immediately thereafter, no later than that. He said, this, and I'm talking about the whole gold thing.
So he puts it to them, rather, he thinks we get by for the next month.
Yeah, this is about what he's saying, but he thinks we can't go, as I had suspected, we can't go even, he thinks, to the first of the year.
Well,
and I don't think
I'm inclined to think actually, John, the best. No, I have put the first year. I think our best time is September the 15th, right after Labor Day.
Yeah.
September the 10th, approximately.
Right.
That's the best time.
Right.
If we had our choice,
right.
Congress would be back. You hit them and so forth. On the other hand, if we want to consider a wage price freeze and so forth, you've got a very good. Reason for it, but the steel people coming down as they have in this way.
You can do the domestic things without doing the international things, but I don't see much.
But
I don't see much to be gained by it. I think you tend to cover.
No, by the international things. No, by the domestic things. I mean, I include in that the import quotas.
I'm saying
all of that's everything.
I'm saying. And you can do those without, number one, without fooling with convertibility and without floating. But it seems to me if you do all the domestic things and then you later have to come along and close the gold window and float,
then you
don't have anything domestically to offset it. And it seems to me if you do the whole thing now, it shows that you're moving both on the domestic as well as the international front, and I think it tends to create a great deal more confidence in what you've done. What really hurts us, it seems to me, is that all of the bad news is concentrated in New York, in the financial circles, in these fellows who constantly deal in the international market. And I don't care what Germany or Belgium thinks, but nevertheless what Walter Wriston thinks, what the bankers think, the international bankers who are constantly in that money market, this does have an effect. And it has an effect here at home because that's where these damn writers are getting it. This is where they're hearing this lacking knowledge. They feed it out constantly. This is what the impact that it has on you. It's more fanciful than real. But you can defer the international thing, but I would not do so.
Maybe. Okay. Well, let's say this. If you can, you would you have any time to see Schultz?
Sure, I'll see him right after I see Henry.
Fine, you see him, and then if you like, as a matter of fact, the Mitchell thing is no problem. As soon as you finish with him, with Schultz, come on, get a hold of Bob and Alan. I'll either be there or here.
All right.
Just come right over, and we can talk to him and talk about Mitchell's there.
All right.
And break in, and that way you'll get back and keep your appointment.
That's fine.
See.
All right.
You finish with Schultz.
All right.
So Mitchell has a good judgment on this too.
Oh, sure.
He knows a little about the
heart.
Turn those, sir.
people that, to listen to the whole McChesney Martin, that son of a bitch is no good. He just always been wrong, you know. And, you know, so he just finds some law in every policy except his own.
Seems to be an occupational trait of the chairman of the Fed.
But I'm thoroughly determined that I'm going to allow the Russian officers ever anymore to interfere with what we have to do to run the shop properly. It's still doing very well, you understand, the practical politics of the building. It's better to have it. If they're going to settle for this in the end anyway, you better get it over with now. Not have a string.
That's sure the overriding argument is if by sitting it out for 2 months strike you can get another settlement, so that's one thing that you might
ask Charles, I said, well, you're going to get a better settlement.
Nope.
Say no. One and a half months. If they were a 3%, 4% difference, that's something to fight about. So they're going to fight about 1.5% for 3 or 4 months, and then what they're going to come out.
So anyway.
3/4% maybe they settle in between.
Well, that's a hell of a goddamn thing to have a strike about this.
excited or everything. Yeah, I get being on the road, thanks to Columbus. That's Columbus, I assume you want to read a speech, don't you? Yeah, 1,000 words. That's my shack.
Yeah, that is my reading.
1,000 words for each. That way I can give a 20-minute speech and read for 10 minutes. About that. Write the full cruise too. That's about what I need. I have the slightest idea what to talk about in the next few months. Somebody on the committee didn't get that bottom block. I think I'm right in front of you. We can get that pretty good. Get that issue. Strong national events. Say, one thing I want to be sure on this thing out here. Nothing all. I want to be sure that we don't, get Pat to feel that she's not in on that thing. Now, she hasn't. She was saying we'd be looking yesterday, why? Better keep this. This is kept as a part of it. Put a lot of museum or something in there. I don't know whether somebody has talked to her about it or what. But she knows that you have a development plan.
Yeah.
Going to develop it as a park and to keep the museum out. We've been working on getting the museum out.
If somebody bid for a museum.
Oh yeah, see that, what she's talking about is she's seen the stuff in the paper, we did it every time, and we've already had, but the, we don't control them all, so it's, we can only do so much.
They want to put a museum there.
Well, they want to extend the Smithsonian, and they want to extend this Hirshhorn Museum, and then what they were going to do is put a gash across them all, under, you know, cut a trench, and put a sculpture thing in there. It would have been all modern sculpture.
Oh, shit.
No, never. And
never.
We got that turned off. The city turned it off, I think, whoever controls it. The Smithsonian has a collection of merry-go-round horses, old wooden merry-go-round horses, and they wanted to use a section of them all for to display that new collection or something. In fact, I'm very upset about that. She wrote about the paper. Yeah, but it had already been turned off anyway, for the time being at least.
Well, she probably has the slightest idea it would be in her mind, and we took it with. I wonder if you could play a little Machiavellian picture. How about getting Conqueror? You get him in, and they're telling him, now this is what I want, and she needs to sell it. Well, you know what I mean? This is this great idea. It's fantastic, too. Okay. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I don't know what you're getting on what you want at this point.
Why?
We don't really have anything on what you want for the mall yet either.
Oh, yeah, it's all done.
Oh, is it?
Erwin's got the whole
plan is in here.
Oh, sure, Erwin, that fellow, you know, that Moynihan brought in.
Yeah.
His name.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they have a plan. It's going to be like, it's going to, they're planning a, it's a Tivoli type thing, you know, with children's, they're going to have a children's playground, places for, they're going to have an underground parking lot for about 4,000 cars. They're planning to close off this whole street, both sides, and have tram turn along on down Constitution and up the other side around that whole area of the place, and not just this side, but the whole damn thing. And they're going to have a restaurant where people can get a bite to eat, you know, and all that sort of thing.
So he does really have a whole plan?
Oh, hell yes. He's got an enormous plan that they're working on now. She doesn't know about that. I guess nobody knew about it.
Well, she knew there was a plan.
As a park, I don't think this is inconsistent with that. It's a good part. It is, absolutely. Parks. saying about this old confidence factor. There's a hell of a lot more confidence in this country than these damn businessmen realize. I think they're behind the... I think they're behind times. It's underneath the world, and to make it appear that there is.
Yeah, sure.
The media, the TV, the rest. I just wonder, really, if even these little appearances we make that much better on that. So on Saturday night TV, a little bit of friendliness.
That's something.
Sure. Get it around. One thing you've got to figure is, too, is it on the, in New York, I when I go up there, I do not want to announce that I'm going to the theater or anything of that sort of thing. I don't think it's the kind of thing that we want. Because there, has someone made the arrangements on that? I don't know if you better check with, that Rose Captain Trisha, and I see someone on that. They'll get out and buy the tickets in any event. Buy them for somebody else. I think if you just go up and the crowds that you pick up then, Bob, are much better.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, they're totally spontaneous. Right. Totally fascinating. By word of mouth, then you announce it, and then you have all the, well, you see, for example, those nutty conservatives right now, they're all the goddamn signs and things. So,
no, I think
liberals, fair enough. Just wait for the last minute, right? If the situation regarding Dallas, Virgins there too. What do you think? That might be. How do we handle it? Of course, I guess we've got to handle it.
I think you guys have a lesson of Des Moines. We've got to get our people out.
Yeah, that's the point. You handle it by out them.
You plan the motorcade?
In Dallas?
Yeah.
Because of the Kennedy thing?
I think we will drive in. We won't parade type motorcade, but I think we'll announce it really for sure.
And we should, I think, now it's so far back in public consciousness that I think we've got to, Dallas is finally got to get well, just there's a 3-4 blocks, who knows. Yeah, what you can do is to drive in, and then just pop up and down.
Good.
Okay, I'll see you at 2:00.
Okay.